Summit over the weekend. You heard Patrick talk, and his outlet is Technocracy News, publishes great up-to-date truthful information, and Pam's article was just republished there, so that's super exciting. So she's going to come on the show and talk about it, explain it to us, because I think everybody needs to know about this. This is some concerning information, so we will get to that at the bottom of the hour. So stay tuned. Let's get into this black box warning stuff. So you've heard me mention it before. What is a black box warning? It is the strictest and most serious type of warning that our FDA gives a medication. So it's a designation that the FDA puts on a medication. And it is meant to draw attention to a medication's serious or life-threatening side effects or risks. It means it's still a viable treatment option when it's used appropriately and by the right person. However, it is a designation that, you know, means that it should only be used short term, that it shouldn't be used long term, that maybe this would be a last resort medication in case of, you know, there's nothing else you can do. And when have you ever heard that in your doctor's office? Have you ever heard your doctor tell you about a black box warning? Have you ever heard your pharmacist explain a black box warning to you? I haven't. Not that I take a lot of drugs for the last two decades or so, but prior to that, when I was younger, you know, I went to the doctor like everybody else, and I did exactly what the doctor said, like most people, and I never questioned any of it. So it was, when it was brought to my attention, I was like, what? What are they talking about? Yeah, so this is a designation. It is the strictest kind of designation that a medication can get. And it's also sometimes referred to as just a boxed warning. Okay, so not to be confused, a black box warning or maybe even just a boxed warning. It doesn't mean that you can't take the medication, but it does mean that this medication may have major risks. And your healthcare provider should be making you aware of that risk. And that's called informed consent, which is all we can ask for, right? Because this is a free country. If you want to take certain medications and that's the route you want to go, well, I wholeheartedly respect that, because this is a country built on freedom. And so I'm not here to say that shouldn't happen or make more regulation around this or get rid of that. No, my hope is that we can educate the population so they say, meh, I don't think so. I don't think I want to take that. And that's the way we make a real difference, because there will always be new medications coming out as long as there's money to be made off of them. So some of these black box warnings can cause serious harm, hospitalization, or even death. And healthcare, you know, this should be taken very seriously. And the fact that we rarely hear about it and so many people have never heard about it is something that you know, needs to change. So what kind of medications carry black box warnings? Well, you might be surprised. It's simple things, right? It's the simple things that we take for granted that we don't think may have black box warnings. Some birth control now carries black box warnings. And that's definitely something that we need to be aware of, because many moms and dads, you know, put their daughters on birth control because of symptomology that includes like heavy menstruation cycles, or maybe even acne. This has been pitched as a treatment for skin problems. But we should know that there are consequences to that. Let's take a listen to this short clip. This is from Sarah Hill. She did a TED Talk and has written a book called Your Brain on Birth Control. And this is very eye-opening. If you haven't heard of her, I would definitely recommend checking it out. Take a listen to this short clip where she explains how birth control affects you.
It has an impact on women's bodies from head to toe, including the brain. Right? And the way that the birth control pill works is it changes women's levels of sex hormones. And even though we tend to think of our sex hormones as something that happens to us, right, like something that causes puberty and hair growth in places that we don't really want to talk about in polite company, our sex hormones are actually a key part of the signaling machinery that our brain uses to create the experience of being the person that we are. And so when we change women's sex hormones, we're actually changing the version of their brain that they are creating. Right? And there's a growing body of research in psychology and neuroscience that shows this to be true.
So I want you to hang on to that key sentence there, creates the person that we are. So I think we get led to believe that our sex hormones are kind of compartmentalized, right? They control maybe our libido, they control, those types of things that are physiological, but we don't integrate that into the whole body, meaning that our sex hormones actually create the person that we are. So we're led to believe that when we go on hormonal things like birth control, that its function is one thing, which is, stopping conception, right? And they pitch it to us as if there are these other benefits to it, like it will, regulate your period or maybe get rid of acne. And that's all fine and good. But what they're skipping over is very important, which, let me reiterate, our sex hormones create the person that we are. We're going to talk more about that after this short break. You're listening to Tammy Cuthbert Garcia on Naturally Inspired Radio.
We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out. I'm going to Jackson.
Today's show is brought to you by NaturallyInspiredMinerals.com. If I could pick only one supplement to take with me on a deserted island, it would probably be my plant-derived minerals. I've been taking these minerals for years now, and I can't say enough about them. Our bodies need efficient amounts of minerals, many in trace amounts, to function at optimum levels. Keep your mineral levels high and your body feeling good with NaturallyInspiredMinerals.com while supporting our show.
We got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout. We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out.
We're back on Naturally Inspired Radio, and we're talking about birth control and side effects of birth control that don't often get talked about. We get pitched birth control like it's not going to affect anything other than what we want it to affect, right? Which is not getting pregnant. I mean, that's the whole point of it. And we get pitched it like that's all it does. And that's not exactly true. There is a lot of evidence now that there are other side effects that affect women when they're on birth control. And these should not be overlooked just because we are given this benefit, we have to know the other side of the coin here so that we can make informed consent decisions and say, okay, is this something I'm willing to put up with in order for the benefit? And a lot of people get mad when I talk about things like birth control in a derogatory way, or that there's anything derogatory associated with it, because it's been tied to women's liberation. Right. So if you don't believe in birth control, then you must be against feminists. Right. You're against women. And that's not what I'm saying here. I'm absolutely for women and for everyone's freedom. But freedom includes knowing the risks. Right. And there are some significant risks. So maybe, you can think back if you've ever known someone whose personality has changed once they've gone on birth control. Perhaps this new scientific data would explain that. Things like changes in mood, right? Higher depression, having a lack of libido. This is something that, I think is sad, because a lot of times when women get married, the first thing they do is go on birth control if they're not ready to start a family. And then this impacts their personality. So, their husband has married one woman thinking this is, her libido, this is her mood, this is what she's like. And then birth control comes into the equation, and all of a sudden it's not the same woman. It's not the same woman with the same libido. It's not the same woman with the same mood. And nobody knows why. There's no explanation for it. And marriage gets blamed. marriage gets blamed. Oh, well, it's the change in marriage, right? When no one would ever think to think, well, what else has changed, right? Has she started a new birth control? Has she started birth control more regularly, or, you know, taken on some other kind of medication that could be impacting her mood? And so that makes me so sad because, you know, marriage is a wonderful thing. And, you know, it's hard enough in this world to work on a relationship. And when we have these variables that don't even get considered to be impacting a relationship, then we can't fix it. We can't make things better if we don't know what the issue is. So it's really water retention is another factor. And again, I can't stress this enough. Like Sarah Hill says in her book, This Is Your Brain on Birth Control, our sex hormones create the person that we are. And to think that messing with those sex hormones wouldn't impact us is just being naive, but it's what we've been fed for a long, long time. So what's the solution? Well, there are other ways, you know, and that's what never gets talked about, right? You can successfully track your cycle. There are ways, but of course, you know, nobody talks about those things because birth control's, you know, a very good business. It's a very good business. So something to consider as a parent, you know, before you just put your daughter on birth control, that, you know, these could be problematic for her. And it's not something that you may even notice. But that she may struggle with internally and have no explanation for it. And that's something that you should definitely investigate. Okay, next up, I want to talk about Codex Alimentarius. And this is, it's actually Latin, and it means food code. That's it. Very simply, it means food code. The reason why I want to bring this up right now is because we are headed into, and if you listen to the show often or you listen to the podcast, I've been trying to bring exposure to Biden's new executive order about biotech. And that includes, you know, biosecurity and the whole bioeconomy. You're going to hear a lot of those words, you know, biomass, all that stuff. It's an executive order that he passed in September that basically takes the reins off of science. You know, I use quotes, their science, right? The biotech industry, artificial intelligence, this landslide that's overcoming us in terms of technology. It takes the reins off of that, and particularly in the healthcare field, but also in the food industry. And so I want to bring you back around to this Codex Alimentarius, the food code, even though, so it's a collection of international recognized standards. It's a code of practice, guidelines, and recommendations published by the Food and Ag Organization of the United Nations. Okay. It's relating to food production, food labeling, and food safety. Okay. But this is a monster, a behemoth. It's growing and has been growing for a long time. It was first published in 1961. And again, it was all about the food, and then the WHO got involved in it. Right. So now the WHO's also involved in it, and it started to kind of branch out into prescriptions, supplements. Okay. This is where I'm going with this. Vitamins and supplements, of course, out of safety, right? It's all about safety with anything the government does. That's what they'll use to convince people that they need for them to take control of it, of course, right? So I have this short clip I want to play for you today. This is a naturopath out of Canada. And she is expressing her concern with government getting involved in her business. So take a listen. Again, this is a naturopathic doctor from Canada.
Associations or the natural healthcare supplement industry, that Health Canada is moving forward on an initiative to stop the sale of all natural health supplements in Canada. So what does that mean? That means if you're a consumer, you will not be able to get access to your natural healthcare supplements. That's vitamins, minerals, nutrients, herbs. What does it mean for the natural practitioner? If you're a naturopath, functional medicine doctor, naturopathic doctor, it means your business is going to shut down for good. I did a Zoom call the other day with 3,000 other naturopaths in Canada, and Sean Buckley, who is a lawyer who is going to be going after Health Canada, said basically that in 2 years, the naturopathic industry is done. We will all be out of business. I have to say that I'm not surprised. In the last 3 years, I've been very vocal about what's been going on in the world. And I knew that the Rockefeller School of Medicine, the New World Order, and everything that's been going on, the push for pharmaceutical medications, it was just a matter of time before they destroyed the natural healthcare industry.
And I mean, we've seen this, we've seen a sneak peek of this. If you think this isn't going to happen, I would say pull your head out from under the covers, because we saw a sneak peek of this during COVID. They pulled supplements like NAC, right? They pulled them so people couldn't access them. They would no longer sell them on certain shelves because people had heard that NAC was effective in treating COVID. And they pulled it. I think it's Dr. Paul Merrick that testified under oath that at some point in his hospital, he was not permitted to give vitamin C to COVID patients. Vitamin C. They threw that in there because he had developed a protocol that involved a number of different vitamins and supplements that was helping people. And they stepped in and said, nope, you cannot treat in this way. And that regiment, that ban that they put upon him included vitamin C. So to think that, you know, this isn't where this is headed is very naive. And we see things happen in smaller countries like Canada before they're tested here. And so I think this is something that we really have to be aware of. Again, this food code will be used as a weapon to get that done. The pharmaceutical companies have already dipped their toe in many of these supplements and whatnot by creating, you know, patents on proprietary formulas called nutraceuticals. They will do that in order to eat up that market, because that market is huge. And they want their share of that market of people that use vitamins and supplements. So, you know, they're in the business too. But believe me, they would much rather you have to get a prescription and they be the only ones that can manufacture vitamin supplements so that they can expand their market even more. And all it's going to take is a few, you know, if you listen to me, you know, I always call them breadcrumb stories, right? They put out these little stories here and there to kind of test the waters on how people will react. I call those breadcrumb stories, like, oh, what are they going to do if, you know, so-and-so ODs on vitamin C, right? They'll put out a story about someone ODing on a particular supplement or a particular vitamin and how dangerous it was. And, you know, then they'll follow it up with regulatory, you know, suggestions that now we need more regulation on this industry because, you know, it's killing people. Meanwhile, their genocide injections are killing people. And of course, those are totally fine, right? They're going to come after supplements like vitamin C simply because that's their business model. They love to monopolize, and that's what they'll do. They'll say, well, it needs to be regulated and it needs to come from, you know, big pharma so that we can regulate, doctors write prescriptions for it. You won't be able to get it. So you have to take action on this. You know, this is unacceptable. We have to take action on a local level and make sure that, you know, we're staying on top of some of these issues, because there's so much coming at us all the time. And that's kind of the point, to create that chaos where, you know, we have so much stuff to think about that we can't really do anything about any of it. This is important stuff, and we have to kind of keep our fingers on the pulse of what matters in our own local government. That was, you know, super important to hear that over the weekend from Patrick Wood. You know, it's time to take action, and that means that we have to get involved in our own local governments and whatnot. Can you imagine not having access to vitamin C or to these simple supplements and vitamins that are just in our cupboards. I mean, you're talking now, you know, this feeds the whole beast of our healthcare system, right? If you have to get a prescription for vitamin C, that means you have to book a doctor's appointment, right? You have to go book a doctor's appointment. How much does that cost, right? Well, that will then up the insurance payouts, right? There'll be more doctor's visits, which means insurance will charge more for our premiums. I mean, our premiums are out of control as it is. And this is just yet another way for them to just sink their claws into us and, you know, take us for everything. It's just, I think, man, how much more can they do to us? You know, our taxes are through the roof. Healthcare is through the roof. We're seeing that inflation with all of everything. And they just keep piling it on. And on one hand, you know, this party, this administration is, you know, free healthcare for all. Everyone should have access to healthcare. But yeah, you know, it's feeding their pockets. They just want, it all goes back to them. You know, they're making the products. They're invested in the products. The government regulatory bodies, you know, are lobbied by these companies. They win, and who loses? We do, because we're still the sickest nation in the world that takes the most drugs in the world. Time to wake up. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Pam Long, and we're going to talk about that bat lab in Fort Collins. Stay tuned. Today's show is brought to you by preparewithtammy.com. One of the best ways to build independence and confidence is being prepared. Here at my home, 1890 Homestead, we focus on self-sufficiency like gardening, water filtration, and storable food. For more information and to order the supplies you need, go to preparewithtammy.com. Welcome back. You're listening to Naturally Inspired Radio. I'm Tammy Cuthbert Garcia, and we were just talking about just big pharma, big insurance. Oh, this mess that we're in sometimes can be so frustrating. And there's just every time, you know, every other day, it seems like there's something new to be worried about. But I did want to bring on my friend Pam Long, my new friend. I've just met her in the last month or so, and she's fantastic. She's published an article about a bat lab incoming up in Fort Collins. So I wanted to bring her on to talk more about that so we could learn kind of where it came from, what's the origin, you know, what do we need to know about it? Pam, are you with us?
I am. Hello, Tammy, and all of the medical freedom community in Colorado.
Thank you so much for taking time out today. I know I kind of reached out to you last minute, but I know you know how important this issue is, and I'm just so grateful that you're out there fighting for our freedom all the time and you were willing to come on today. Let's talk about how you learned about this bat lab and just, you know, break down the origin of it and how you found out about it.
Well, you know, I write for the military articles for Children's Health Defense, and one of our senior writers wrote about this bat lab that was newly approved by the Planning Commission in Fort Collins in December of 2022. And so I thought, oh, I absolutely have to get like the local perspective on what is happening here in Colorado where I live. And so CSU has been conducting bioresearch for decades, up to $300 million in NIH funding over the years. And so, but the new bat lab approved in December expands their capability for gain of function research, similar to Wuhan, where the origins of the pandemic strain of SARS-CoV-2 virus have been tracked to. So what is gain of function research? It's an important thing to understand. It's taking vector-borne and zoonotic viruses from mosquitoes and bats and making them more transmissible and more pathogenic. That's a big risk.
Yes.
To humans, animals, a food supply. And so And then I, you know, looked at, okay, do we have a history of leaks at CSU? I'm not a native. I moved here about over 10 years ago. But it, nobody ever talks about it. So I thought, oh, maybe I'm just, you know, ill-informed about what's going on here. But my little deep dive on CSU lab leaks, wow, I didn't know I was going to uncover a biological disaster, because most non-governmental sources track chronic wasting disease to the animal lab at CSU in 1967, while most governmental sources cite unknown origins. And so by 2018, chronic wasting disease affects about one-third of Colorado's elk population and half of the deer population, and it is 100% fatal. So what happens to people who eat these animals? I do not know. I know that in mad cow's disease, which is very similar, that we kill those animals and we tell people they're unsafe to eat. And so these manipulated prion proteins studied at CSU are the causative agents in neurodegenerative human disorders too, like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and fatal Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. So a spillover from animals to humans is the utmost of concern.
Yes.
And there have been at least three other leaks since 2013 at this CSU, CDC, DOD, NIH collaborative lab. But the CDC claims it has authority to redact this information from the public. And I have unanswered questions about West Nile virus too. There was an outbreak in Fort Collins in 2003, which infected thousands of people, with some fully not recovering fully, and killed 63 people. And is this an unintended consequence of CSU's research with mosquitoes and West Nile virus? I don't know. And even if CSU is not planning to expand gain-of-function research at this new lab or at this time, we can all agree that importing viruses to a population which has no immunity to these viruses from other regions, like Nipah virus from Thailand, these have great risk for both humans, animals, the entire ecosystem, and our food supply.
Absolutely. And coming off of COVID, I mean, just the word gain of function is going to be a sore spot for all of us, right? Like, what we need, what you were doing gain of function right here in Fort Collins? Like, we're in this mess, a lot of us know, is because the whole reason where we had COVID was because of gain of function research that, of course, Fauci adamantly denies, but Rand Paul has, you know, pretty much proven that that was the case, that gain of function research was the cause, and that this did come from a lab. To have this in our backyards, terrifying.
Well, and that's, you know, let's connect what happened during COVID in Fort Collins to what is happening now with this lab. So for context, Larimer County had one of the most heavy-handed responses to COVID in Colorado, and that response has ties to the largest employer in the area, which is CSU, and federal funding from NIH to push these agendas. Fort Collins was boasted about as one of the top 10 cities in the world for COVID projects in one article I read. And CSU had the most vocal mask pusher in the state, a non-medical engineering professor, John Volkin, and the ranch in Loveland hosted the AstraZeneca experimental vaccine trial. Larimer County participated in a wastewater surveillance system and also attempted a vaccine verified facility, which we would call a vaccine passport program. And testing and vaccine development are very profitable areas of research at CSU with federal grants, and the resulting products out of that research, they stand in that $1 billion as just reported by UPenn this week. This is big money to push these agendas. And these conflicts of interest are embedded in nearly every appointed and elected official in the Fort Collins area, even down to the school district, which is something I haven't talked about publicly yet. I mean, the superintendent of Poudre School District belongs to an organization called Chiefs for Change, which promoted the Rockefeller Foundation playbook in response to COVID-19 and is completely lockstep with what Patrick Wood describes in his book, Technocracy Rising. So when parents push back on the collateral damage caused by public health experts in the form of education stifling with the mask mandates for children and social isolation resulting in a mental health crisis in teens. The PSC school board made flyers titled Standing Up for Science. You know, that is a religion in technocracy, the science.
Yes.
And with pictures of local and vocal parents and calling these parents extremists.
Don't touch that dial. We need to finish up with Pam Long. She's got more information for you. We have another segment coming up. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. This is KHNC 1360, Naturally Inspired Radio. Hi, I'm Tammy Cuthbert-Garcia from Naturally Inspired Nutrition. We can help you build a lifestyle, not a diet. Together, we will discover unlocking your food stories, building a food philosophy, eating food for medicine. We'll use a simple swap system. We will use an easy transformation system, and there'll be no more diets necessary. Naturally Inspired Nutrition, helping people feel good so they can do what they love for longer. Get more information or book today at naturallyinspirednutrition.com. We're back with Pam Long. We're talking about this bat lab that is to go in at CSU in Fort Collins. Pam, you've got my brain spinning, and I'll tell you why. Year and a half, 2 years ago, I did, probably 2 years ago, I did a story on my podcast, my daily show that I was doing back then, about this laboratory. And I got a response from someone in the community that worked up at CSU, and that told us that the wasting disease was purposefully released in Fort Collins. And so I need to reach back out to that man and figure out, if you're listening, please call the station and so we can reconnect with you, because my mind is now spinning. I also did a story on the vaccine passport company, the tech company that was going to be put in Larimer County, that was all about developing the technology for the vaccine passport. So you, I think, are right on the pulse when you say that this county is eager to please. And I can't help but think that, you know, Polis declaring that he wants to be, you know, one of the first smart cities in America, if he isn't, you know, connecting to Larimer County to kind of start that off.
Well, you know how I know when I'm over the target on an issue that is of dire concern is that Kyle Clark of Nine News starts poking the bear over here. And that happened last week with my article. As soon as it started getting attention, you know, Kyle was talking about it on social media. And, you know, this is not a partisan issue. And I like to call myself tripartisan, because medical freedom resonates with Republicans, Democrats, and yes, libertarians. And Kyle knows this. So he can't shoot his fiery arrows directly at my advocacy and the facts of the matter. So instead, he tries to discourage me, you know, and disparage my credibility. But I'm pretty immune to these tactics and use every media opportunity to amplify my concerns. And if people want to get more information about what is going on and joining the opposition, so Christine Bowman leads a grassroots local citizen group called the COVID Bat Research Moratorium of Colorado, and they have a Facebook group. And CSU has failed to schedule the promised public stakeholder engagement process in the past 6 months to address the public safety concerns. Shocking. So join her Facebook group to engage with yard signs, editorials, email campaigns, meetings with local decision makers. This group has 600 people, but it really needs about 6,000 people. Because this lab affects the safety of all people and animals in the U.S., not just Colorado, as viruses, they cross state lines. They don't respect our state lines. And so I would also add that if you just want to get up to speed quickly on the BET Lab at CSU in Fort Collins, you can read my article at the Kim Munson Show or at Technocracy News, or listen to two podcasts that I recorded with a local Fort Collins resident, the opposition group leader, a researcher with 2,000 pages in FOIA documents. And you know, I love Mike's advice to me going through these FOIA documents, where he said, you know, we really, our civic duty is to read up to your highest level of understanding. You may not understand it all. It's out of your field, but it still doesn't relieve us from the responsibility to be talking about it and demanding answers and transparency and oversight and limitations. And so I would encourage everyone, especially with this 4th of July coming up, as a U.S. Army veteran, I will say, you know, World War II was an obvious nuclear war era, but World War III is a stealth biological warfare era. And our Department of Defense is using pharmaceutical companies, university labs, civilian logistic companies in this new warfare, with media running propaganda to cover their partnership. And when you see those fireworks this 4th of July, I want you to ask yourself how you can serve your country in these times against domestic threats in your backyard right here in Colorado. We need people lighting up the darkness in spectacular ways, lawyers, scientists, whistleblowers, to truly understand medical freedom. I mean, you just have to realize that it encompasses every aspect of our life: economic freedom, the right to have employment, religious freedom, freedom of movement, freedom of speech. We, the people, must work together, even when our government is corrupt and failed us, to protect America from the next Wuhan bioweapon.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you were listening, but I was mentioning, you know, Biden's executive order to kind of take the reins off of the bioeconomy. And that includes agriculture. You know, agriculture is super important to us. We all have to eat. We all have to eat. And we should have the right to know what we're eating in terms of, is this real food? Is this fake food? All this stuff is very concerning, and you don't have to understand it all. I love that you say that, Pam. Like, read up to your level of understanding, but asking questions can be enough.
And there are a lot of questions to be asked. For the past 6 months, CSU and local government has stonewalled the public and not scheduled that public engagement for transparency. They've only provided a frequently asked question, you know, on their website, which just raises more questions when you read it. And the CSU spokesperson has contradicted herself on whether the lab will be biosafety level 2, 3, or 4. And again, you don't have to understand all this. You know, biosafety level 1, we're talking like E. coli. Biosafety level 2, we're talking about influenza, HIV, Lyme disease. Biosafety level 3, we're talking about yellow fever, West Nile virus, tuberculosis. And level 4, we're talking things that are fatal and don't have a treatment, like Ebola and Marburg. And so we really need to know, you know, this, we can't take, well, maybe it's a 2, maybe it's a 4, you know, maybe one day it'll be a 4. We really, you know, it would be nice if the public had some input. And I just, you know, Patrick Wood really inspired me. And he's, you know, get local and vocal is my mantra. I mean, he's looking down on this big worldview, and I'm in the trenches, right on the front lines. And he told me, he poured into me at the health summit this weekend. He said, your city council and your county commissioners have so much power you can tap into. So go draft a resolution and put some limits on these businesses in your city.
Stay tuned. We're going to finish up. We're going to have one more segment with Pam Long. And I want to talk about gain of function. As a citizen, you deserve an explanation. What is gain of function for? We'll be right back. Today's show is brought to you by NaturallyInspiredMinerals.com. If I could pick only one supplement to take with me on a deserted island, it would probably be my plant-derived minerals. I've been taking these minerals for years now, and I can't say enough about them. Our bodies need efficient amounts of minerals, many in trace amounts, to function at optimum levels. Keep your mineral levels high and your body feeling good with NaturallyInspiredMinerals.com while supporting our show.
Love and happiness. Women, something going wrong.
We're back with Pam Long on Naturally Inspired Radio. Pam, please give, the best place where people can contact you and connect with you. Is that on Twitter? Is that your website? Where's the best place for everyone to know how to reach you?
I am on Twitter at Pam Long Colorado, but I team up with Colorado Health Choice Alliance, and we put out information on our website, on email, Telegram. We're doing a series, a podcast series on this lab, and we've already recorded two of those. So that's probably the best place is to hear what I'm talking about. And I will be talking about these college mandates, big court decision today at Rutgers in the near future.
That's great. I want to point out too that about higher education right now. You know, we've just gotten the news that Fauci is going to go to Georgetown, right, and teach. He's retired, right? He's not retiring though, because these higher institutions are the breeding ground for this stuff, right? The money funnels in the form of grants, and then we get these people that end up there doing gain of function research.
Yes, and if I could, let me give a little something that helped me connect all the dots with this.
Please.
To understand what's going on. Okay, so Patrick Wood, the author of Technocracy Rising, which is really a must read to understand how everything's all tied together in the current agendas. In just a short summary, I would say this is how I would explain what's going on right now. If science is your God, then transhumanism, or the alteration of the human genes, is your religion, with the prideful aim to improve upon God's creation. And the priests of this religion are the scientific experts like Fauci, who you just mentioned, who will replace representative government with technocracy as the new government, with these experts instead of representatives. And natural resources are the new economy, or should I say, the new extortion, if this radical science is not your religion. And Patrick Wood explains this emerging worldview, and I focus on more of the local level, where you can see where it's all playing out, where the local board of health is not responding to the public, the CSU board is not responding to the public, you know, the county commissioners are stonewalling and shutting you out. It's because they believe that their science is correct, and their goals of transhumanism are the best way forward for humanity. And they are the experts, and you don't have a voice anymore. But the encouragement I would give you today is you absolutely do have a voice. And I see people in Larimer County rising up to oppose this.
That's wonderful. That is the hope, right? I mean, we had such a great turnout at the Health Summit this weekend, and Patrick had a great response from his talk. So absolutely, there is hope. And we just have to band together, and we have to unite on the things that we can all agree on, which is medical freedom. It's not a left or right issue. It is not one day, you know, maybe you're fine with taking these injections, the gene injections that we just all, you know, were mandated towards us, but one day there's going to be something you're not fine with injecting. And that is an absolute truth. It will come one day for you. And that's why it's so important that we stand up now for medical freedom.
And yes, and that health summit was absolutely groundbreaking. This event with natural health practitioners, organizations, local growers, businesses, all aiming to create a community outside of the system of our government. So everyone should do that.
Thank you, Pam, for being with us today. I just want to let everybody know I'll be on AMP News tonight at 7:30. If you want to tune in, AMP News, I'll be on there with my buddy Josh Reed talking about all kinds of health freedom stuff. Thanks so much for listening to the Naturally Inspired Radio Show today.